Today is Monday, March 14, 2016. Good afternoon. Welcome back, and let the record show that the House Resources Committee was convened at 1:01 p.m. Representative Johnson is present. Representative Josephson is present. Representative Heron is present. Representative Olson is present. Representative Tarr is present. Representative Chenault is here, present. My fellow co-chair, Representative David Tallarico, myself, Representative Benjamin Benny Noel. Welcome, Mr. Speaker, Representative Chenault. Representative Chenault will be joining our committee as an alternate member for Representative Hawker. Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, if I may say something, thank you for allowing me to sit on your committee.
Okay. Go ahead, sir.
That was all I was going to say.
Boy, I was expecting a whole lot of stuff. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Please turn off your cell phones and hello to Julie from House Records. Hello to Matt from LIO. This afternoon we will begin public testimony on House Bill 247, tax credits, interest, refunds, oil and gas from 1 to 3 p.m. and again tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. If we run out of time tonight and we have the need for more public testimony, we'll see about Tuesday night at 6 p.m. as well as to finish public testimony. A few ground rules for folks who want to provide their testimony. State your name and affiliation. You'll have 3 minutes for testimony, and we'll rotate between legislative information offices, off-net testimony, and in-room testimony. And to minimize the wait time for anyone who has signed up for public testimony, another option for public testimony is to submit written testimony to the IHSCRES at akleg.gov. Let's open. Before we open public testimony, we have Representative Susan present. Okay, we'll start with the let's open the public testimony. We'll start with the Anchorage LIO, where the first person to sign up, please step forward and state your name and affiliation. And you'll have 3 minutes for testimony. Go ahead, sir, ma'am. Anybody at Anchorage LAO?
Yes, sir.
Please state your name and affiliation, and you'll have 3 minutes for testimony.
Thank you. Chairman Nagia Cantalrico and House Resources Committee members. My name is Babe Hansen. I'm a 41-year resident of Alaska and of Anchorage, and I am representing my family and myself today. The bill before you needs to be passed since we cannot afford the existing system. As Gunnar Knapp and ICER pointed out, in this coming year from oil production taxes, we may only receive as low as $12 million if the average price is $35 per barrel, versus $1 billion in credit cost without any changes. So obviously it needs to be changed. This system and this effort of credits has done much good, but it's also gotten a little bit out of control, and the word on the street is some of it's being used to help companies get out of bankruptcy. But the real reason it needs to be changed is we can't afford it. My second point, the fiscal note needs to be reduced to match the legislators' budget efforts. We're making large cuts to all programs across the board, And those are necessary, given our fiscal situation. Money's required for this credit program transition, based on the fact that most things are confidential, are speculative. And we need to look at it from the standpoint that the $1 billion cost attached to this as a fiscal note could probably be reduced, like we have the other programs, by maybe to maybe $850 million. What I found in working as a businessman and in government is the more money you set aside for something, the more sure you are that it will be used. The legislature never guaranteed the credits would be paid every year since they were subject to annual appropriation. So we need to have this program and its fiscal note reflect our current budget situation. My third and final point is, as I understand it, the legislature raises the floor from a 4% to a 5% tax increase for small companies and for companies under the program. Since small companies under this program with low per barrel prices don't pay a tax, as I understand it, until the prices get up quite high, this is a kind of tax that is probably makes sense to help us in our current budget situation. Once the prices per barrel are high, the companies can afford to pay it when it will be charged. Now, two arguments are used against this. I'd like to quickly just state, one, many people say, well, oil industry is already paying royalties and production taxes. They are for other services. As you well know, the royalties are paying essentially for the use of the oil, and the property taxes are paying for the use of the property for facilities, and they're unrelated to the production tax. The other argument I've heard used is we can't keep changing the oil tax regime all the time because it makes for instability. I just want to remind you.
Would you, with three minutes, wrap up, please?
Yes, I will, Chairman Nagyak. In essence, we should remember that the oil industry itself wanted certain of the tax changes that have happened in the last 6 years, just out of fairness. Thank you very much for the chance to testify, and I wish you luck.
Thank you very much. We have Jacobson affiliation with his representing himself from Kodiak. Are you there, Mr. Jacobson?
Yes, I am, Chairman.
Please make your presentation for 3 minutes, please. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, members of the House Resource Committee, and Mr. Chairman. My name is Jake Jacobson. I'm from Kodiak. I'm representing myself and my family. The information I refer to here comes primarily from Alaska newspapers. Unfortunately, a lot of oil company dealings are kept secret, and that should change. I find it strange that Gunnar Knapp, the director of the Institute of Social and Economic Research of the University of Alaska, his extensive study was not given time or money to include factoring in effects of oil taxes and credit regimes. He wrote primarily with PFD. Credits paid to oil companies sometimes exceed actual expenses, and we have no way of knowing if the credit claims are legitimate. The state is paying up to 65% of the cost of some oil projects. Exploration is a gamble. That the state pays any credits at all seems ridiculous to me. This is forcing Alaska residents to take the risks while big oil reaps the profits, as I understand it. New oil is not taxed. Currently, credits to big oil amounts to about $1,000 per Alaska resident. This is about what the governor wants to take from each resident by a reduction in the PFD. Stop the credits and leave the PFD alone. The proposed $100 million in new taxes on oil companies is about half what would come from the debated 6% of federal income taxes if we institute an income tax on Alaska residents. That $100 million is double the amount that would be gained from an increase in motor fuel taxes. We need to tax the oil companies that $100 million. In fact, the state accounting office is years behind on checking payments from big oil companies. Alaska versus Amaretta Hess was a court case in which found that from 1977 to 1992, companies were guilty of deliberate falsification in computing the price paid to Alaska for its royalty oil. And the case ended with the judge saying that we, the state, were guilty of inexcusable trustfulness in dealing with big oil companies. Remember, contrary to the TV ads, ConocoPhillips is not Alaska's oil company. It's owned by stockholders, most of whom are not Alaskans, but we Alaskans are essentially stockholders of the PFD. We should look at an ad valorem tax on product left in the ground, which might enhance state income close to the amount of the deficit. I appreciate the opportunity to speak, and I wish you good luck in this important deliberation.
Thank you very much, sir. Now we'll move on to Fairbanks, James McKillen. Are you there, Mr. McKillen?
Yes, thank you. It's my name is James McMillan. I'm a business rep for the Teamsters Local 959 Union. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the House Resource Committee, for the opportunity to testify this afternoon. Teamsters Local 959 is a union with roughly 7,000 members. We represent members in a wide variety of industries, from members at Use Valley Coal Mine, workers on the North Slope, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, Port of Anchorage, AT&T, UPS, Linden, and Weaver Brothers, Alaska Frontier Constructors, Nanook, Doyon Associates are just a few of the companies we have under contract. I'm here to give our perspective on HB 247. We understand the challenges that face Alaska, that the governor and the legislature are dealing with, a fiscal crisis that is upon our great state. We understand that tough decisions need to be made, and we support the governor and the legislature in reducing the operating budget and using some of the earnings from the PFD fund to help balance the budget, maybe even instituting some new taxes. We are concerned with the governor's plan to change the oil and gas tax structure. Since SB 21 passed, the oil industry has invested more into Alaska projects, with projects like CD5, Shark's Tooth, that have put hundreds of Alaskans to work, put more oil in the pipeline, and billions of dollars into our economy. Increasing oil taxes and reducing credits that encourage investment at a time when the industry is struggling sends the wrong message. We must maintain a healthy oil and gas industry in Alaska if we want to keep oil flowing through the pipeline and keep alive the prospect of a gas line. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Mr. McKinnon. McMillan, sorry. We have David Hansen in Anchorage. Mr. Hansen, please begin.
No, he already testified.
Oh, I'm sorry, you already testified. That's correct. Anybody else? Oh, there you go. We have Mr. Scott Hickless from Anchorage. Please begin, sir.
Chairman Nagyot, Tellerico, members of the House Resources Committee. My name is Scott Hicks, and I've lived in Alaska for more than 25 years. This is my first public testimony, but I felt really compelled to testify today. I work for Alaska West Express. We're a company that provides transportation to the North Slope for the oil and gas industry. Our drivers deliver freight to customers on Alaska's North Slope. We have approximately 140 employees and contractors that work in Fairbanks and on Alaska's North Slope. Our truck drivers, mechanics, and office employees rely on a healthy oil and gas industry. Alaska's fiscal challenge and stability of the oil and gas industry will shape our future and our kids' future. I am opposed to a major revision to Alaska's oil and gas tax policy at this time. HB 247 dramatically changes the tax system by raising the minimum production tax by 25%. It's just not a good idea to raise taxes on businesses that are already losing money. Many oil and gas companies are cutting costs and making choices about where to invest their money. We need to make sure Alaska stays competitive with the rest of the world's oil and gas opportunities. The governor's proposal would be the sixth change in the last 11 years. Now we are proposing yet another change. How is that a stable investment climate? Oil still provides the majority of Alaska's revenue and supports one-third of our economy. The last place we should look for new revenue is to unfairly tax industries that drive our economy. I appreciate the efforts of the governor and the legislature during this very challenging time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hickless. We'll go anchored again, Ms. Karen Lane. Mrs. Lane?
Yes, sir. Yes. Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Karen Lane. I am a concerned Alaska resident, and I am here to show my opposition to HB 247. The oil industry is a major revenue producer for the state of Alaska, and it's the largest producer of revenue for the North Slope Borough, City of Valdez, and the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Higher industry taxes in this low-priced commodity environment could lead to lower state revenues and a weaker private sector over the long term. The private sector is the foundation of Alaska's economy, and its underlying health is the key to sustaining jobs, state government, and the overall economy. The governor's tax proposal does not encourage the private sector. Instead, it takes us in the opposite direction, jeopardizing future investments, jobs, and production. To sustain the Alaska economy, we need to encourage new investments, jobs, and production by maintaining a stable, competitive tax structure. The more the state taxes companies to produce a commodity, the less it will produce here, and the more it will produce elsewhere. By increasing taxes, we are discouraging investment. Why are we taxing an industry that is already struggling with bottom-of-the-barrel prices? Let's not encourage HB 47, but discourage it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have next Sarah Hatemi. Please begin.
My name is Sarah Hatemi, and I'm testifying in opposition to HB 247 today. I'm a sophomore at the University of Anchorage, Alaska, working my way towards a political science degree. I hold a part-time job on the side, and currently I'm considering a second part-time job in order to make ends meet. Since I'm here in Alaska all by myself, it has been rather difficult at times trying to make rent, pay tuition, and still hold an active role in the community. When I moved here about 3.5 years ago, I wasn't necessarily in a much better position. However, I had so much hope for the future as I saw all these opportunities within my reach, as long as I put in the hard work and time that society requires from me. I was motivated to do well at school, work as hard as I could, and still get involved in the community. But with no guarantee, or even worse, hope or opportunity, what is the point? If all my hard work and daily stress is going forth to potentially nothing, then why? I love Alaska, and this is a place where I wish to build a future. However, if I simply cannot make it work, even doing my very best, I'm scared that is an idea I have to let go of. In the last 10 years, our oil and gas tax regime has significantly changed 5 times. If HB 247 is to pass, that will be the 6th time. In other words, that will be the 6th time we absolutely kill investments, jobs, and more production. With this kind of instability, there is no wonder why our great state is heading the way it is. Keeping in mind that every oil industry job creates 9 other jobs in the private sector, it is baffling to me that we should, under any circumstance, increase taxes on our primary source industry. Before you make a decision, I ask you to keep in mind students like myself, and furthermore, all millennials in our state, and what kind of future lays ahead of us. I have faith you will make the right decision and bring back the Alaska we all deserve. With that being said, I strongly urge you to oppose HB 247, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. We'll stay in Anchorage, and Kelsey Posensky, please, begin.
My name is Kelsey Polzinski, and I am testifying today to voice my strong opposition to HB 247. I'm a full-time college student at the University of Alaska Anchorage. I work full-time in order to support myself and pay for my education to maintain my independence, not from my family, but from the state of Alaska. I do so because my education is an investment in my future and the future of Alaska. I work hard so that I can have the opportunity to be successful. I am involved on my campus and in my community because I am passionate about creating a better and brighter future for this state. I plan to work and live in Alaska for the remainder of my life, and as such, it is incredibly important to me for me to know that the stress and money I put into my education today will be a worthwhile investment. To know that the place that I call home has a prosperous future ahead of it. Oil and gas is a critical industry for our state that has faced instability often in the last decade. If this bill passes, it will be the sixth time in 10 years that there have been significant changes to the oil and gas tax regime. It is no surprise to me that the industry has been laying off workers in the face of this poor policy. It is hard to plan for the future if you are met with instability. For every one oil and gas job in Alaska, there is 9 other jobs produced or reduced in the private sector as a result. I know this, and I look to my future. What does it hold for me? 2 or 3 years from now, when I'm looking for my first post-college job, what will the market look like? I know for sure that I will not be heading into the oil and gas industry, but what about the 9 other jobs lost for every one oil and gas job? What will that mean for me and my peers? Well, I have wasted 4 years interning, networking, and studying only for the market to not be able to support me in my future. The state budget is bloated. Do not push the mistakes of our state government onto the private sector. Doing so will only cause further job loss and recession. You can't tax our state into prosperity. Our state should be focused on allowing the free market to work, not increasing the tax burden on businesses that are so vital to our state economy. When it comes time to move this bill forward, I hope you think of me and the thousands of others like me who are facing an uncertain future. Please oppose HB 247 and allow our state to have the opportunities that once made it great. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. We stay in Anchorage, and Ryan McKee, please come forward and... Mr. McKee?
My name is Ryan McKee, and so thank you, members of the committee, for having this public testimony. Today I'm testifying in opposition of House Bill 247. We're already in a financial crisis, and I agree that action should be taken to balance the budget. But going after an industry that pays most of our budget already is not the way to do it. These companies are already being hit hard with the low cost of oil. Many Alaskans either know a friend or family member who's been laid off or have been laid off themselves due to these tough times in the industry. Drilling for oil in Alaska costs significantly more than other parts of the U.S., so why would we add more tax burdens to an industry already struggling to stay alive here? If we allow HB 247 to pass, we're essentially telling the world that Alaska is not a safe place for these companies to do business, that despite passage of SB 21 and then the defeat of the SB 21 referendum, there is going to always be an unreliable policy that could change at any moment. Alaska needs to remain competitive with the rest of the world or risk losing business. And sadly, that's already begun to happen. Repsol has restructured their investments, which led to many losing their jobs. And most recently, Apache Oil has decided to pull out of Alaska altogether. BP and Conoco have also announced huge layoffs. Burdening the remaining companies still trying to drill for oil with more taxes on top of the massive amounts they already pay will only lead to more companies closing up shop and moving to a more business-friendly part of the world. We are in a time of financial uncertainty. However, we should be looking at ways to reduce the government spending first. And while new revenue certainly needs to be explored, we should not look to the very industry that drives the Alaska economy and already pays for 90% of the state budget to do so. With this in mind, I urge you to oppose HB 247. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We now go to Homer, Mr. Brad Faulkner in Homer.
Yeah, for the record, my name is Brad Faulkner. I'm a lifetime resident of the state. I'm 60 years old. I also have a degree in economics from Harvard University and have watched oil taxes. All through for the last 30 years and the evolution of oil taxes. I am in support of HB 247. I want to back up a little bit, I guess. When SB 21 first came out and I looked and saw the gross revenue or gross value reduction, I immediately called both my legislators and said, hey, you can't do this, because you can't take and tax on the net and then rebate the tax back on the gross. It's just a simple value structure of, no, you don't go at your taxes by taxing on the net and rebate back on the gross. But this particular hearing isn't really about that. We're going to get rid of that gross value reduction, I'm pretty sure, because it just really doesn't make sense. What this hearing really is about is 1%. Going from 4% to 5% is 1%. Now, when SB 21 got passed, along with $15 million worth of oil company grease to keep it going, we, the people of the state, were sold a bill of goods, which was 35%. That's all we saw was 35%. We're going to tax the oil at 35%. But now, when we're going to raise the gross tax on oil from 4% to 5%, everybody's saying it's 20%. You got them lined up in their suits because you live down there in Juneau with a bunch of oil lobbyists and people that are going to make hundreds of millions of dollars off of this. But what you're doing is clipping it from the people of the state. And for the first time, you got to tax me. You got to tax my pocket, and you're going to get it done probably this session or next in order to give the rebates on the gross when we're taxing them on the net. It was structurally incorrect. I admire, my hat is off to the oil company guy that slid that through and that you all voted for it. And then you got the majority of the people of the state, along with their $15 million ad campaign, to vote for it. But the reality is nobody looked at $50 oil. And we don't have $50 oil now. What we have is $30 oil or somewhere floating around there, but the budget is based on $55 oil. So any of these that you look at, or any of the values that you look at, saying if we just put a 6% interest rate on it, 30 years out, the gross value reduction does not work. If we look at, it's $84 oil for Mustang. In order, $84 oil. So don't listen to everybody saying, please don't raise the taxes 20%. We're raising the taxes 1%, and what you guaranteed us when you gave us SB 21 was 35% on the gross, on the value, net value. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. We'll now go to Fairbanks, Mr. Carl Portman.
Good afternoon. My name is Carl Portman, and I am a lifelong Alaskan raised in the interior, and I currently live in Anchorage, although I'm visiting Fairbanks today. Like many other Alaskans, I am very concerned about our state's fiscal situation. Our economic lifeblood, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, is now running at three-quarters empty. The current oil tax policy has encouraged new oil industry investment, which has stabilized a long, steep slide in production. I do not support increasing taxes on the oil industry as HB 247 would do. Simply put, Alaska cannot increase oil production by raising taxes, especially considering that North Slope oil now sells for less than it costs to produce. The industry is losing billions of dollars annually in this downturn and is being forced to cut jobs and expenses. Any tax increase will have a direct impact on future investment in Alaska and therefore future production. Even at today's low oil prices, 67% of Alaska's revenues come from the oil industry through various industry taxes and royalties. Clearly, the industry continues to pay the vast majority of Alaska's bills. In my opinion, the legislature needs to continue to cut state spending to a more affordable level. Despite cuts in recent years, the state's operating budget is still on an unsustainable path. Unrestricted general fund spending has increased 230% in 10 years, while revenues have fallen sharply. In addition, the legislature and the administration need to come to terms on using permanent fund earnings to help fill the fiscal gap. The permanent fund earnings need to be part of the long-term solution. In fact, it's the biggest and best tool in the box to help solve our fiscal crisis. Even the bond rating agencies have recognized the need for Alaska to begin using permanent fund earnings in a sustainable manner. I recall Governor Jay Hammond's vision for the permanent fund included the eventual use of the permanent fund earnings to help pay for essential government services. Given low oil prices, low throughput in taps, and the need for the new industry investment, I do not support HB 247. Higher taxes on the industry will make matters worse for both the public and private sector. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Portman. Anybody else online? And Homer? Is there anybody there? Okay, is there anybody else in Kodiak? None? Is there anybody in Fairbanks anymore? No? Is there anybody else in Anchorage who wants to testify? Is there anybody in person here who wants to testify? We don't have anybody else online. We don't have anybody here. So this is
brief at ease.
For about 15 minutes, and we'll come back, and we'll keep the lines open, and when we come back, we'll hopefully have more people line up. Thank you very much. We'll take a 15-minute recess. Call the meeting back to order at 1:53. We're going down to Anchorage now. We have Mr. John Sturgeon. Please come and testify. Go ahead, sir.
You want John Sturgeon?
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, my name is John Sturgeon. I'm a resident of Anchorage, and I'm calling in to express my opposition to House Bill 247, and the reason is pretty simple, is that this sends the wrong message to the oil industry or anybody else in Alaska that's trying to invest. I think the number one priority of the legislature now should be trying to create jobs, not trying to stifle them through additional taxes on industry. I'm personally in the timber industry in Alaska, have been for the last 45 years, and I can't imagine that if I had a tax structure like oil company has, how I'd survive. Markets are going up and down, oil prices, my fuel costs are going up and down, and to not have a stable tax base would be extremely difficult to conduct my business in the timber industry. That's all I have to say, and I thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Sturgeon. We'll stay in, we're going to Homer now, and we have Miss Arlene Ronda. Miss Ronda, please begin.
Yes, this is Arlene Ronda. I'm sitting in Homer, and I want to thank you all for working on the budget, first of all. It's a long process, and more power to you. I think we absolutely need to raise revenues. I think the cutting is doing the people of the state a disservice if you cut too deeply. And I especially want to express my appreciation to Paul Seaton and his thoughtful research and his efforts in that regard. I'm supporting House Bill 247, and as another way of plugging some of the gaps that we've had for the years here. And that's all I want to say. Thank you for taking my comments.
Thank you. Thank you for testifying. We don't have anybody else online. We'll take another 15-minute break. I call the meeting back to order. We have a couple of people online now. We'll go back down to Anchorage. We have Mr. Joe Mathis with the Nana Development Corporation. Mr. Mathis, please continue. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hey, Mr. Chairman? Yes, I can.
Go ahead, Mr. Backus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Co-chairs Representative Nagyak and Representative Tallarico and committee members. And Mr. Speaker, I am Joe Mathis, Vice President of External Affairs for Manor Development Corporation. We appreciate the opportunity to provide public testimony today regarding House Bill 247. I would like to provide Manor's development perspective on House Bill 247 overall as it relates to our oil field businesses. Manor Development Corporation has many companies directly involved in the oil industries, companies like Manor Management Services, Manor Oilfield Services, Manor Worley Parsons, and WH Pacific, also GIS. Our Manor companies have been meeting the needs of the oil and gas sector for four decades. We have employed over 5,000 Alaskans and more than 1,600 Manor shareholders. Through our business operations, we generate income that enable us to deliver valuable benefits back to our shareholders, owners, and to the state as a whole. Manor shareholders have made a significant investments in the oil industry over the past 40 years. We once held a small ownership in the Endicott oil field for over two decades. We recently invested in new facilities and equipment at Dead Horse for Manor Oilfield Services and constructed a state-of-the-art fabrication facility in the Mat-Su Valley specifically designed for oil field modules. Through those business activities, our shareholders and all Alaskans have been afforded the opportunity to hold thousands of good-paying jobs as well as the opportunity to receive extensive job training. On behalf of Manor Development Corporation and those companies directly involved in the oil industry, we are concerned about the direction of House Bill 247 will take in times when we need to be cautious of instituting substantial tax changes. We support a stable and predictable tax structure. Manor also has been significantly impacted by this turn of events. Oil industry investments fuels contracts for the Manor companies and the jobs those contracts create. But Alaska's current investment climate is at a standstill due to the low oil prices. And Manor has lost hundreds of good-paying jobs, and it is essential that we have a stable economic climate to serve our citizens both today and well into the future. The downturn will not last forever. However, House Bill 247 sets the stage for diminished development when the oil economy does recover. As you consider 247, please remember that Alaska's future for decades to come depends on the decisions that you will make. We believe the bill in its current form has too much impact by today's transitional situation. The bill does not strike the balance between Alaska's short-term wants and our long-term needs. I urge you to consider the impacts it will have upon the industry and without further changes to this bill. The proposed changes in the tax structure will have unintended consequences of delaying expansion projects and production of new oil. We realize that the catastrophic downturn in oil prices has shaken the industry, including Manor and the state government. We need to pull together to ensure that we have a stable economic climate to serve our citizens both today and into the future. I urge you to demonstrate the strong leadership that this state needs at this time. We believe that a thoughtful work done by this legislative body can produce a viable and fair tax policy for both the state, Alaskans, and the industry. Thank you for your time and your attention.
Thank you, Mr. Mathis. Now we go to State in Anchorage, Mr. Jeremy Price for Americans for Prosperity. Please continue or please start.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity to testify today in opposition to House Bill 24-7. I'm the Alaska State Director of Americans for Prosperity. We are a grassroots organization that advocates for fairness. We advocate for smaller governments. We advocate for low taxes. We want a strong future for our state. There is a saying that is appropriate here. When you tax something more, you get less of it. And when you tax something less, you get more of it. The private sector faces uncertainty during these tumultuous times of record low oil prices. The private sector cannot control these fluctuations in the market, and neither can our elected officials in government. Yet, the private sector can plan for the short and long term, knowing these volatile times can and will occur. However, it cannot plan for constant changes in public policy. Fortunately, this is an area that is within the control of our elected officials. You control our future with SB 24-7. The private sector needs a predictable, stable, regulatory environment where the government will not keep changing the rules in the middle of the game, especially when the home team is losing. Let's take a step back and consider why we are discussing this issue. We are here because state government wants more money. Should we pass an overhaul to the oil and gas tax industry's tax structure, to the oil and gas industry's tax structure simply because the state wants more revenue from a particular industry? Like it or not, Mr. Chairman, our future lies with the failure or success of the oil and gas industry. Simply put, this issue will make or break our future. You have heard from expert witnesses who have called this bill one big tax increase on the industry. This is not the time to raise taxes on an industry that is currently cash flow negative. This is the sixth major change to oil and gas tax policy in the last 11 years. When will it stop? We need your leadership now more than ever. The pipeline is flowing at 500,000 barrels a day compared to 2 million barrels in the early 1990s. On federal lands, the regulatory environment makes it extremely difficult to economically produce oil and gas, especially in this state. Our most prolific deposits of hydrocarbons are off limits. We have more endangered species, more wetlands, more federal regulatory roadblocks than any other state. Please do not make the economic environment even worse with state policy-level roadblocks. Mr. Chairman, on a personal level, my family has been here since the 1950s when my grandfather homesteaded in the interior. I have two young daughters, and next month my wife and I welcome our first son into the world. I want our elected officials to think of my family when they vote on this bill. I want this body to think of our future. What will it be if you help to help drive the industry out of the state through constant changes in tax policies? Today, let's remember one thing. What will your legacy be? Please oppose HB 24-7.
Thank you very much. We don't have anybody else online. And we'll take another 15 minutes. Break. I'll be back in at 2:30. We still don't have any people online. Recess at call of the chair till 3:00. Call the meeting back to order. It's 2:50. Is it? Yeah, 2:50. We have two people online. Let's see. Hold on. Right here. And this one. These two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Miss Faith Martineau, are you online? From Fairbanks? Anchorage, I mean.
Yes, Co-Chair Nagyak, I'm here.
Please start. You've got 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Co-Chairs Nagyak and Tallarico and members of the House Resources Committee, my name is Faith Martineau, and I have worked in Alaska's oil industry for a little over a year now. I am calling to voice my opposition to HB 247, which represents, I believe, a real threat to Alaska's oil industry and would certainly affect me, my family, the people I work with, and many of my neighbors. I strongly urge the committee to consider the strides that have been made already under SB 21, a system which better benefits not only Alaska's primary industry, but also Alaska's economy in the long run by making the state more attractive to investment. The company that I work for, Kalis Energy, came to Alaska because of the benefits offered by SB 21, benefits that are retroactively revoked in some cases under HB 247. More importantly, allowing the system that is currently in place to work is, I believe, essential to showing that Alaska can have a stable fiscal regime. I believe that the committee's consultant, Analytica, who testified last month, was correct in their conclusion that stability is the most important element in any legal system. As the committee well knows, Alaska's Arctic is one of the most expensive and challenging places in the world to operate in, but it also has world-class resources that can still attract investment with the correct incentives. Again, I would ask the committee to consider what is truly best for Alaska in the long term and to oppose HB 247. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We're staying in Anchorage. Mr. Raymond Ward, please begin.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yes, my name is Mr. Ward, and I'm a resident and taxpayer of the state of Alaska and calling to participate in the conference by offering my opinion that the governor's proposed bill, I believe, is it 247 to increase tax on the oil companies? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I think that the governor has wrong timing. It is not the time to propose to increase taxes on the oil industry in light of the current and dwindling oil prices, oil and natural gas prices. Now is not the time to put an increased burden on the oil industry. Recently, many major oil companies here in Alaska have ceased their operations, and the remaining major players are scaling down tremendously on the operation and production. So by increasing the tax on the oil industry at this time would be more of an incentive for more oil companies that's doing business in Alaska to cease their operation, close up shop, and move out of state. And that is not a good idea, particularly with the pending state deficit. And that would discourage, that would be an impingement on the generation of revenues for the state of Alaska operating budget.
Thank you very much. We'd go now to Fairbanks. Mr. John Cook, please begin.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Nagyak and members of the House Resources Committee. My name is John Cook. I'm calling from Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm the CFO for Airport Equipment Rentals, Inc., and I am calling in to testify in opposition of HB 247. Specifically with regard to our company, these credits the past 3 years have caused us to, or have given us a tremendous opportunities in the exploratory side of the business. We own one of the largest exploration packages for a lease on the North Slope, and that package of equipment has worked steadily for the past 2 years, and again is working this winter. Even in a low price environment, this winter we thought it'd be a challenge to put this package to work and to put our employees to work. But I can tell you that these credits that are offered under the current statutes are one of the reasons that this package is being deployed and not working on the North Slope, you know, right now, putting literally hundreds of Alaskans to work. There's a time, I guess, to tinker with things, and right now when there's a lot of uncertainty amongst private employers and companies, I guess I just think it's bad timing to talk about doing things that would make changes to a system that, that I believe is working and that I can tell you with all certainty is putting a lot of Alaskans to work right now. So, you know, I'd ask you certainly to do your due diligence, to look at things, but at the end of the day, I can tell you personally that that our company would not have people working on the North Slope right now were it not for the system that's in place. Thank you, and feel free to, I'd be happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Thank you very much. We now go to Matt Sue. We have Crystal Nygaard. I'm sorry.
Thank you and good afternoon. I am here to represent the Matsu Business Alliance. It's an organization that was founded 7 years ago in providing small businesses a voice here in the Valley. We would like to urge all of you to vote no on the governor's bill to change this oil and gas production tax structure. This is a job killer. Most recently, Neil Fried came out and gave a presentation at our college referencing 10% of the current residents in the Matsu work on the North Slope, 1% work on the Kenai Peninsula. The reason our residents are able to live in the Matsu and work around the state is because of the rotational schedule that the oil and gas industry has provided and affordable housing. We believe the government needs to stop competing with the private sector and let the private sector create jobs in a friendly environment. On a personal note, I'm raising the next generation. I have three sons. One is studying mechanical engineering in Montana. And frankly, he doesn't see an opportunity to come back to the great state he was raised in because of the message that we're sending investors and students. I also have a son that's studying computer science, wants to go into automation. But where are the jobs? Government needs to get out of the way. They need to incentivize the private sector to create jobs. So we thank all of those legislatures in the room today that will vote against the governor's bill. We believe the private sector is ready to go. Thank you.
Thank you. We don't have anybody right again. I'm sorry, it is 2:59. We closed that public testimony for now. Now, gather back in. We're back on record. We'll be back at 6 p.m. tonight to continue public testimony. Is there any further committee discussion of House Bill 247? If not, we are adjourned at 2:59 p.m.